Just a quick warning that we will be talking about breakups, end of relationships, some sadness. And I think that's probably it to include in the trigger warning at the beginning of this episode. So if you're not in the headspace for that, then maybe skip this episode or these two episodes or whatever long, however long this is going to turn out to be. Okay, bye.
Sparkling ring for every finger I'll put away and hide from view.
Welcome to the final part of Does Not Suffice. We can't even believe that we're saying that, but here we are.
No, and for the first time in the history of the show, we talked about this entire song in one sitting. So if you have things to say, if you have things to contribute, we're happy to keep talking about it. We'll do a bonus or whatever, but...
We sure are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
The last song. It's been a year.
Been a year, and thank you guys so much to those of you who stuck with us for a year. That's a long ass time to sit with people talking about songs. So we hope you guys enjoy this final part of Does Not Suffice, this final part of Have One On Me, probably. We're super curious about your guys' thoughts and theories, so send those in. Even if it's on some song we've already covered, that's fine. If it's on an upcoming song, even better. We think we're doing Divers next. We're not totally sure. So if you have opinions on that too, you can let us know. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Thanks, guys.
So we are on the next verse, I think.
Oh my God. I feel like we're trying for a Guinness World Record, like fastest interpretation.
Okay.
Then she sings.
I think, yeah.
You saw me rise to our occasion. And so deny the evidence, caused me to burn and twist and grimace against you like something caught on a barbed wire fence.
Man, I love this verse. It's a... I know I just finished saying that the song is not angry, but this is like a little bit... It's still a matter of fact, like it's not quite angry, but still the accusation here is like a loaded one. Mm-hmm. It's like a very standing up for myself sort of accusation, right? That like they had an occasion together. There was something that both of them, it was like a problem that both of them had. She's saying like you know that I'm the person who like met the challenge, who like, you know, like stood up and faced it. And you deny the evidence that that happened. Like that is so gaslighty and horrible. And she's just straight up leveling this accusation, like right after she's been like kind and sweet to him. So there's still some kind of like blame happening here, which I think is important for like the empoweringness of this song.
Yeah, and I also feel like it's referencing an agreement. It's our occasion. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't come into this by myself.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know if I agree with that thing.
No, I think that's right, though. It's at least, like, this thing is both of our responsibilities. Whatever the occasion is like up to both of us. And I'm the person who did it. I'm the person who rose. And like, you know, without this line, like we've seen evidence of that. We've seen evidence of her being the one to always step up. But then we get the description of him denying the evidence, which is just so heartbreaking and like infuriating to me, and obviously gendered, that like, he wouldn't even acknowledge, like, the frustration in that he wouldn't even acknowledge the fact that, like, I don't know, A, it was their occasion that they shared together, mm-hmm. their problem. And then B, that she's the one that, like, Rose stepped up to the plate or whatever analogy mm-hmm. we're going to go with here. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like too weak a statement to say that they've ended up here by happenstance, right? Like, yeah, there is yeah. some intention on both of their part.
Yeah.
Parts. To have arrived here.
Yeah, there sure is. Okay. I totally agree. And I like this sort of like detached view that she has on it, where she's like able, she's like not detached, but like she's able to have some perspective on the fact that, like, look, you're denying that I did this, and that, like, I did, you saw me do this, and then you denied that I did this. And that caused me to have this reaction against you, to, like, obviously get fucking pissed about that, because, like, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also makes me think of this line from Emily that we talked about ages ago, which is also so close to the namesake of the podcast, which is, let us go, though we know it's a hopeless endeavor. The ties that bind, they are barbed and spined and hold us close forever. It's that barbed and spined that I think is really applicable here. Because in Emily, I feel like it's the ties that bind that are doing the hurting. Whereas in Does Not Suffice, it is the partner who is doing the hurting. It's the partner who's holding the barbed wire fence against her or something like that. Like, it is him who is in control of the pain there. Whether that be like a physical something or if it's just like the, you know, application of those roles once again.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I also think it's her, like you said before, Sam, the word desperate is not the best word. Like, but her really wanting to stay in this relationship, like, yeah. really, really wanting this to work. And that serves as sort of like a, not like a threat, but like, this mechanism that like keeps her there, like sort of serves as a fence, because she's like, I'm not gonna leave because I want this so badly, but like, you're making this super painful to stay, like you're the barbs. You're the barbed wire. Yeah,
and it's just such an awful description to burn, which makes me think of Kingfisher. We talked so much of like volcanoes and all of that stuff and the pooling of the blood in the last few episodes. But just the feeling that these lines give us too, right? Cause me to burn and twist and grimace against you like something caught on a barbed wire fence. It also makes me think of her manifested as a horse too, right? That like this yeah. is something that just happens when fences like that are erected, that like innocent people, innocent things get hurt.
Yeah, totally. The burn part too in specific makes me think of No Provenance again, actually, with the you burned me like a barn.
Yeah
definitely. Also, I saw, I believe on Genius, that people are speculating that the occasion that she rose to was the loss of the baby, like the abortion that she probably describes earlier on the album. And with that in mind, I sort of also, like, I love your point about the horse. It also makes me think of, like, maybe a little rabbit that is caught in this fence.
Oof, yeah.
I don't know, though. There's, like, not that much textual evidence other than that it's, like, some creature that she's likening herself to being caught in this barbed wire fence. Mm-hmm. On the barbed wire fence.
I just looked up like the definition for grimace too. An ugly, twisted expression on a person's face, typically expressing disgust, pain, or wry amusement.
Hmm.
But pain, I think is where it lands for me.
Yeah. I feel some disgust in there too, where she's just like, how could you, like, she's just like, yeah, I don't know, faced with how alone she is in the battle that she's the only one fighting for them, or like addressing any of the shit that comes up, which is just so exhausting.
And there's almost some like shock that it's he that she's grimacing against. That,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, like, this is what it's come to. Like,
yes.
And that's really, really painful too.
Totally.
Some, like, not believing that, like, he could have been the one to hurt her in that way.
Yeah. That, like, she's fighting for them and for their occasion.
Yeah.
And, like, what that turns into is that she's turning against him.
Yeah.
But understandably so.
Yeah, yeah.
So then she sings, "Now you can see me fall back here, redoubled, full bewildered and amazed. I have gotten into some terrible trouble beneath your blank and rinsing gaze." I think that's my favorite verse of the whole song. I think.
Why?
Well, first, I really love the description of his gaze as being blank and rinsing, because it gives me at least the image of this like inaccessible, like on the outside emotionless, sort of cold masculine stereotype-y disengaged person and hit, like, having to grapple with that, and then like this description of the effect that attitude has on her, which is that, like, holy shit, like, this seemingly innocuous thing is actually like so corrupting and like has this like real effect on me that she's now aware of. I don't know, I love that, and I love just the description of like rinsing. Oh my god,
I love the way she sings, bewildered.
Me too.
Okay, so is it our assumption that, like, we were grimacing against him like something caught in a barbed wire fence, and then we're falling back? Redoubled means, like, to make or become much greater, more intense, or more numerous. So to feel all of these things more intensely, and the feeling after that is bewilderment and amazement. I think that's really, really telling too. Like we just said, that we're surprised that this is what it's come to.
Yeah.
It's almost like we've woken up all of a sudden. Or like, how did we get here?
Yes. Yeah, I totally think that like the bewilderment and the amazement is coming from like, oh shit, like we're in some trouble. Like, I've been twisting and burning and grimacing against you. And like, also, it's not as though we have a description of like him helping her to get out of this fence, or like to, like, you know, deal with the aftermath of having risen to the occasion. Like, I'm not sure where the falling comes in though, to be honest. Like, where is she falling? Where is here? Is it falling from the fence? Like, maybe the idea is that, like, I am no longer gripped by this, like, compulsion to stay in the relationship. So the fence is no longer keeping me here, like, forcibly. Mm-hmm. But, like, holy shit, as soon as that fence goes away, as soon as my will to, like, stay here no matter what goes away, then, like, oh my god, what have I been doing?
Yeah, it seems like a free fall to me, like, yeah, like a disengagement from the fence, and then just kind of like a what now?
What now? Yeah. And I love, this is total speculation on my part, but I love the idea that, like, the terrible trouble that she has gotten into as being this, like, rinsing of herself, this, like, rinsing of her personality and her needs and her, like, idiosyncrasies for the sake of the relationship. And, like, then the resentment and shit that she's been feeling as a result of having to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just, in my head, that's what it is. And I love that description of, like, that's some terrible trouble.
Yeah, 100%. I think that the line rinsing gaze is really interesting when we look ahead to scouring yourself red in the shower too.
Oh, yeah.
What does rinsing even mean? Like, other than...
I think I was picturing it as being, like, his... The way he, like, looks at her... Like, because it's blank, like, in the way that, like, water, if you're, like, rinsing yourself with water, it removes, like, whatever, like, soap or, like, dirt or, like, the extras that is on you and leaves you just, like, totally, like, exposed. Naked and unadorned.
Yeah.
Yeah, and exposed. And just, like, it has the effect of stripping down everything to, like, what's actually there, what's, like, the core of what's here. And, like, it seems like all of the pretense that you might be putting on or all of the, like, the, not artifice, but, like, the, whatever, like, the airs that we have on as people to, like, try to get by are just, like, stripped because it's so, like, confronting to have somebody, confronting in this indirect way, to have somebody be so blank and so emotionless and passive. That, like, eventually the effect of that is to have it be like, oh, my God, like, you've taken everything from me other than this, like, core that we're lucky is still there.
Yeah, and that's really interesting in terms of all of the opulent garments and stuff at the beginning of the song, right? Like, it doesn't matter what, like, how many layers she was putting on to him. He can see straight through that. And that's kind of like disarming.
Yeah, totally.
Is disarming the right word? I don't know if it is. I think this next verse is my favorite.
Okay. Like,
how can you listen to it and not cry?
I know, it's so touching.
Did you read the last one?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to say? We're zooming here. And I'm like, oh.
We're zooming. I kind of like it.
It's a very nice change of pace from Kingfisher.
That's exactly. Sure. It's just a nice contrast.
And then she sings. In, like, the most clear terms we've heard ever from her.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes.
She sings.
Yes.
It does not suffice for you to say, I am a sweet girl. Or to say you hate to see me sad because of you. It does not suffice to merely lie beside each other as those who love each other do.
Oh boy. Why is it your favorite? Just the directness of it?
Yeah, she's sick of his shit. She's sick of these, like, yes, pleasantries of, you know, pretending that what he's giving her is enough, and it's not.
Yes.
And I think it's not. The most heartbreaking way to phrase that is to lie beside each other as those who love each other do.
Yes.
Like, ugh.
Yeah, that's so heavy. Like, it's not enough for us to go through the actions, to go through the motions of this relationship. Like, we actually need some, like, engagement emotionally, and, like, that's the very thing that you've been lacking this whole time, and, like, that is not enough. It's, like, the first time we get this direct statement, as you said, the most direct we've ever gotten from her, which is just, it does not suffice, it is insufficient for you, for, I mean, for us to have this dynamic. I need more, which is so refreshing.
Yeah, And for you and to sad. Say, I am a sweet girl. Like, and I feel like that goes both ways. It's not enough for you to say it. It's not enough for you to define me only in those terms. But also, it's not enough for me to just be this sweet girl who lays beside you. Like, I need more. And it's amazing.
It's amazing. That's a great way of putting
it. I'm so proud of her. Like,
you did it. Oh, my God. We've been rooting for this moment. Yes, I love that point that it's not enough for him to say that she's a sweet girl in that, like, look, I need more. Like, you can acknowledge that I'm nice, or that, like, you know, you're upset that I have been saddened by you, but, like, you also aren't doing anything about it. But also, like, that it's so reductive for you to say that I'm a sweet girl. Like, it's so... I mean, that it's girl and not woman, I think, is really interesting. That it's, like, infantilizing in this way.
And the next line is infantilizing, too. To say you hate to see me sad because of you just entirely wipes out any, like, validity of her feelings, of her experience through this entire album. It's so annoying. Like, how dare you?
It's so annoying. Like, if you hate it, change your fucking behavior.
Don't do it. It makes me so mad.
Totally.
And it's such a weak effort at, like, all of the feelings that she's been feeling. And this is his one contribution. I hate to see you sad because of me. Like, get the fuck out. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
I'm totally sad. Like, that is all you have to bring to the table? Like, okay, great. Awesome. What do I do with that?
And sad, too. Like, is all that you think I'm feeling is sad? That's all that you get from this? It's been 2 hours of this album. And all you see is a sad, sweet girl?
Like, yeah.
Totally. It makes me want to smash everything in this apartment. Like, I'm surprised we don't get there. And, like, it's also just, like, this, like, that she's not burning the house down is, like, really a testament to her. I don't know.
It's so frustrating, and she's so level-headed about it. I mean, that could also, I, like, feel like such a broken record, but, like, in and of itself, that could also be a gendered thing because if this were a dude, like, temper tantrums physical ones.
Punching a hole in the drywall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, like, women need to keep it, like, contained and small and, like, quiet. And she's still doing that. That's a good verse.
Oh, it makes me so angry.
Yeah.
But it's also so good. It's a very satisfying verse because, she states explicitly what is not okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had hints of that throughout the album in, like, very poetic terms. But it's really refreshing and infuriating to have it laid out so clearly here.
Totally. Yeah. 100% agree.
God.
Okay. Next verse?
Next verse.
Did you just read the last one?
I did, yeah.
Okay. So then she sings, I picture you rising up in the morning, stretching out on your boundless bed, beating a clear path to the shower, scouring yourself red. My interpretation of this is that she's imagining him without her, right? She's imagining what his life will look like without her. And it's sort of like this, for me, it's like this mixed imagery of, like, on the one hand, he's, like, enjoying himself. Like, his bed is now boundless because she's not there, like, containing it or taking up space. And so he's, like, stretching out and enjoying that, like, freedom that comes with her not being there. But then also it's this, like, thing that doesn't seem like the most healthy thing for him because he's scouring himself red in the shower. Like, it – and beating is a weird way of describing what you're doing on your way to the shower.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I feel a lot of pity in this verse.
Yeah.
So to me, the boundless bed is something that's really sad because that's all he wanted to do was sleep. Now he can sleep forever by himself. He has all the room. Like you said, she's not taking up space. A boundless bed seems kind of shocking. Like no matter how far he stretches, he'll never get to the ends of that bed. And that's just like, you know, if you're used to sharing a bed with someone, that's like a shocking thing. It also, this verse just gives me the vibe that like he's not processing emotionally anything that's happening. Like the way that this breakup is manifesting for him is in the physical, and he's like beating a clear path to the shower and scouring yourself red. I just like can feel like the anger.
Yeah.
And like the, I don't know, the uncertainty. I'm like shaking my little fists like like that every day is a fight now because he doesn't like that role doesn't exist anymore. He doesn't have someone taking care of him.
Yeah. And he doesn't have the emotional intelligence with which to process like any of the shit that's happened. So it just manifests in this like violent man, this like whatever, this like not even violent necessarily, like the self-destructive, like fine, like stew in like your passiveness then. Stew in it. Like see what happens.
And the beating a path to the shower, I just picture like a machete in the forest. And he's just, like trying to get through the bushes to the shower when really it's not like a fucking adventure like that. It's a walk to the shower. Like there's so much of that, of him unable to process his emotions here in like these daily tasks. And it's like such an inappropriate interpretation, but he doesn't know any better. Like he's scouring himself right in the shower because he doesn't know what to do with all the feelings. Like ooh.
I find the boundless bed part so fascinating because I think that like in line with what you said, Sam, that like okay, so now that she's gone, like, he can do what he has been wanting to do the whole time, which is, like, sleeping through fucking everything.
Yeah.
And I think that that can serve as, like, a metaphor for this, like, insane passiveness that he's been displaying throughout this whole album. And so with her, like, physically being gone, what that does is it makes his bed everywhere. If your bed is not boundless – sorry, if your bed is without boundaries and boundless, what that means is that it extends into, like, all the aspects of your life. And so she's basically saying, like, you can sleep through everything now. Now that I'm not here. Yeah, exactly. Now that I'm not here being like, can you please wake up and, like, engage with me?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Sleep through everything. Like, be as passive as you want to be. I'm done.
And the interpretation, too, that I get is that, like, that's not necessarily what he wanted, but he doesn't know any better. Like, it's also like this really sad conclusion for him because he doesn't have, I don't know, I don't want to give him too much credit, but he doesn't have like the ability to process those things himself. So how could he ever understand what her perspective is either, right? Like,
yeah,
it's just such a, I don't know, such a limited.
It hurts him too.
Him too, and he'll never be able to express that. And like, there's no growth in this for him at this stage either, right? Like, he's just stuck beating a clear path to the shower every day, scouring himself red, sleeping through everything. And like, what an awful existence.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a rosy picture of what his life is going to be like without her. And like, even though it's not fair, like, to her, this whole thing has not been fair to her. It does suck for him. Like, it's not a happy, gender is bad.
And like, that's like a very clear interpretation of the song too, that like, this shit hurts all of us.
Yes.
And there's, you know, there's a reason that it's not necessary because it's just fucking awful.
Yeah. Or at least, like, the gender roles that, like, are traditionally conceived and laid out for them are really harmful.
And like, you know, this narrator is not someone that I've had sympathy for throughout this album, even a little bit. Like when I think of Golong and Bluebeard, like, God, fuck that guy.
The narrator or the, you know, the partner? Sorry,
the partner.
Yeah. I was like, you have to have sympathy for the narrator.
The partner. So it's hard to like feel that at the end of the song, but I do. Like, it's just totally. Like, oh, shit. Like, you know. It sucks for everyone.
Yeah,
for her, but also for him.
And yeah, exactly. Especially when that anger is gone, or like at least subsided in the way that it seems to have subsided in this song. It's just sort of like it like is very reflective on like, I feel like it's a really good way of capturing sort of at least the way that I've felt in relationships where like once you're actually leaving, you're like, you just feel more tender towards that person. Like the big angry, fiery emotions are gone and you're just left with like, this is sort of tragic. Like, this is sort of just, I guess, you just like are able to see the humanity in the other person in a way that you weren't when you were in the trenches of it.
And I feel like she's able to do that, but he isn't. He's still like in his own trenches, figuring out his own shit. Like, and she does have like that calm air about her, packing her things away, you know, kissing him farewell. And that's probably frustrating to him, too.
Yeah.
That, like, she's able to have, like, this calm ending to all of this, and he doesn't get that.
Yeah. I think it's super fascinating that, like, even in this description of her getting up and leaving and, like, kissing him sweet farewell and all of this, we get no indication of how he's reacting to this. So, like, maybe he like hates her for it, but also maybe he's displaying the exact same passivity that he's been displaying the entire time. Yeah. And so like, what are you supposed to do with that when you're given nothing? Like, I think she's sort of like, she's just like come to terms that like, this is what I get from you no matter what happens. So like, I don't know how you're feeling, but like, you probably don't either. So.
Yeah, you would expect some kind of reaction, but that's exactly the vibe that I get, that he gives her nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Which we get know.
These, like, exactly, which we know and we've come to expect from him, except for like the only clue is like what you said, Sam, like the clenched little fists and like the red skin from the shower, like those are like clues, but we don't know exactly, and we're not going to. It's like this resignation of like, that's okay, I guess I don't need to know.
Well, and because she's not invested anymore, our narrator's not invested anymore, she can't be. Like, there's a disengagement that has to happen for her to be able to move on from this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, there's one more verse.
In all of Heaven on Me, there's one more verse. So crazy.
This is ridiculous. Will you
do us the honors.
Oh my God. To close the album. Well, okay. She closes the album with the la la la's that we will get to hear, because the beautiful Simon will sing them for us in his voice memo. But the last lyrical part of the song is, the tap of hangers swaying in the closet, unburdened hooks and empty drawers, and everywhere I tried to love you is yours again and only yours.
the last thing that she says on this like verbose, ornate, beautiful album is somehow so heartbreaking. It's so, I don't know what it is about the like you can have it sentiment that is so heartbreaking to me, but like just the idea that like, I tried to, like, own this stuff with you, own these places with you in a way, and, like, have our own little narrative that involved, like, us in these places. But she's like, I'm stepping out of that now. Like, you can have it all. It's, like, again, this, like, sacrificial. Like, she's still sacrificing. She's still giving up and giving in a way herself. But in, like, finally, it seems like a healthy dynamic of that, like a healthy way to give yourself up, to be like, this is your burden now.
Yeah. And it's almost like she's able to see the whole picture here too. Like everywhere I tried to love you, it's almost like a reflection on, like, you know, every step they've gone through, every trouble, every problem they've met. And she's just releasing that.
Yeah.
Like, it's yours. It's only yours. Like fucking tried.
Exactly. You know, it's really interesting too that it's his again, which like implies that it belonged to him alone in the first place, and that mm-hmm. she was sort of just like a trespasser, an intruder on this shit, that it was his life. It was like his, he dictated the way that things went. She just came in and like tried to fit into that, couldn't fit into that. And she's like, fine. It's yours again and only yours.
And couldn't fit into it because he didn't let her. There was no space for her at all. That's right. Like no matter how hard she tried to fit into that role, it never really existed.
Yes. Like there was room for like the shapeless bail, but there was not room for the person.
Yes. Was it in Go Long too that we talked about the hook upon which everyone hangs too?
Yeah, so there was like the hooks from the bloody chamber mm-hmm. were like a fucking disgusting image of all these like women and skeletons hanging from hooks.
Yeah.
But the hook on which everyone hangs is from, is it 81? Or Good Intentions? Yeah, Good Intentions.
And that hook is unburdened now is such like an apt metaphor too, right? Like the hangers, yeah, I get it. They're empty. Like you've taken all of your things out. Like that's, I mean, if he could process it, that would be a difficult thing to look at. But the unburdened hooks is just like a knife straight to the heart.
Yeah. And like, yeah, totally. Like hooks are meant, they're there to like hold shit. Like that is so clearly their function.
Yeah.
And it's like he had these hangers like that were ready to like hang something. But like she's like, no, like clearly you've just seen this as a burden. So like let me unburden you of this burden that I've been.
The way that you say that too is so funny. Like let me unburden you. Yeah. It's such like a sassy retort.
It totally. Like, God, just. Yeah, I don't even know. It's just so, it just makes me feel like this whole last part just makes me like pity him. I'm just like, oh, what a sad existence. You have these empty closets and these empty drawers and these hooks that are waiting for someone to come and like fill this role that you have in your mind of like what a woman should be for you, mm-hmm. or like what a partner would look like to you. And like she tried so hard and you've just been like, oh, but now you're taking up space though. Like now my drawers aren't empty and like I have burdened hooks. And it's like, yeah, that's what hooks are for. But he like can't.
Like someone put these hooks here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Just the finality of it. Made me think too,
and I know you mentioned this already, but of Bear shedding the mantle of her diluvian shoulders. In Monkey and Bear. The idea that that space is all back to him. I wanted to read, there's a three-part Blessing All the Birds article called When I Broke My Bone, He Carried Me Up from Riverside, Dependency, Autonomy, and Femininity in Have One on Me. And the last paragraph of that is on Does Not Suffice. Who wrote this one? I think it's Melissa and Rachel who wrote it. And they say, Does Not Suffice ends Have One on Me, mirroring and refuting much of what we have explored. The melody is that of In California, and it makes a verbal echo of lyrics in Easy. That verbal echo is important because it reverses and explodes much that we have seen previously and what was lurking underneath the entire time. She is not easily possessed. She is not easily supported any longer. That part of her identity from In California has disappeared, at least for now. But that is not to say that she is not eminently feminine. She asserts her independence over the situation by reclaiming and appropriating all the feminine materials that had been used against her in Have One on Me and Go Long. She takes all her finery out of his drawers. They are now hers to possess freely. And even the love she had for him, she lets him keep that. Just a really beautiful summary of the vibe of the entire song.
It sure is. And I love the point about, like, this femininity, this feminine shit, like, has been used against her. Like, she, it's something that she, it's been weaponized against her. So she's, like, reclaiming that. She's like, fine, I'll take it then. Like, fine.
Yeah.
You don't get to use it anymore.
And that's a power move, too. Like, it's really empowering, at least from my perspective, for her to take all of that back.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
My favorite part of the song are these echoing, la, 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 la. And I know we'll play Simon's voice memo sometime here because he does an incredible job of explaining the connections to in California. Maybe we can put that here?
Here, yeah.
Hey there, Sam and Nikki. My name's Simon. I heard you liked voice memo, so I just wanted to drop you my thoughts on Does Not Suffice, in particular its similarities to In California and what that might mean. You kind of changed my world when you said that initially Joanna was looking at In California being the end of one disc and Does Not Suffice being the end of a second disc because of its similarities musically and thematically about her returning home. I thought that was a really neat solution. I'm always kind of vaguely dissatisfied with the current divisions now. Because In California is that first real break where she ducks home to check out of life for a while. And then in Does Not Suffice, she obviously leaves in a slightly, well, we think more permanent fashion. But I guess that's yet to be seen. And I think there's all kinds of interesting musical clues we're getting if we compare In California with Does Not Suffice, and I think she's really encouraging us to do those things. So In California has three main musical ideas. It's basically A theme, B theme, C theme, which then repeats with a couple of interludes and so forth in it. A is the beginning, that kind of meandering melody that is in basically a kind of a C. Basically C, and it ends at I must stay here in this endless eventide, by which point it's got to D major, which is the same key as Does Not Suffice, but more importantly, the B section of In California is the same melody as most of the verses, all the verses in Does Not Suffice. And in California, it goes kind of like, and if you come and see me, you will upset the order. You cannot come and see me, for I set myself apart. But when you come and see me in California, so this she mirrors in Does Not Suffice when she says, I will pack all my pretty dresses. I will box up my high-heeled shoes. A sparkling ring for every finger. I'll put away. So this is interesting because in California, this tune's talking about her being at home, waiting for the partner. The second time it comes in California, she says, well, I wait all night for you, etc. But when it's coming up in Does Not Suffice, she's talking exclusively about moving on, packing up all her stuff, and then imagining him being alone without her. But she's using the tune that previously represented her waiting for him to come to her, and makes me think she's still in two minds and we might not be going to get the ending that we're hoping for. But then at the end, after giving him what's his and only his, she uses some more material from In California. Now, that material in California is the C section, which where she talks about her fears and her faults. It goes kind of like, well, I have sworn untidy for rows across my soul, but I am still a god, content to see my garden grow so sweet and full with someone else's flowers. Which obviously then comes back at the end, etc. And I like this because in the C-section in California, the first time it comes up, she's talking about her untidy forest, her desire to grow other people's flowers. And the second time the tune's used, she's even more explicit. She's, I don't belong to anyone. My heart is empty as an oil drum. I don't want to be alone. My heart's yellow as an ear of corn. And I've torn my soul apart. So when this tune gets used at the end of Does Not Suffice, you initially makes you think that, she can't actually get through this Fyodor and move on, except this time she's actually robbed it of the power of the words. She says la 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 la. It doesn't have that content in it. And then she literally destroys it with musical cacophony. She drowns out these thoughts and the tune. She drowns out everything. The whole album basically fades to black. We don't ever find out what happens to our narrator, but I think that's the point. It's kind of like if you've seen this terrific show Fleabag. The entire series Fleabag's in communication through the fourth wall with the audience, and at the end she waves goodbye to the camera and she walks off, kind of like saying, you folk are no longer needed, you can't come where I'm going. I get exactly the same vibes at the end of Does Not Suffice. Joanna throws all the noise that she can to drown out all these thoughts, to block us off. She fades to black, she walks away. You can't come where I'm going. I love it. It's a perfect end. And as a fun little kind of classical music Easter egg, this minimalist ostinato Joanna uses at the end, kind of, it's really similar to a very famous ostinato used in Gustav Holst's The Planet Suite in Mars, the Bringer of War. And it goes, so I kind of like to think that it's the narrator marching off, all powerful, to wage war on like the rest of her life, that she's been a bit passive to in this point. That might be a bit of a stretch, but I still like it. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you get something out of this. Bye.
Thank you so much, Simon. We so appreciate your incredible contribution, that you took the time to do all of this. Like, just thank you so much. Like, for me, this is just like exactly like a dream voice memo. It's perfect in that it explains this like really tricky musical shit that I don't know about in this super accessible way. And yeah, just the insights that you have throughout that voice memo, Simon, I just really appreciate that. So thank you so, so much. Please send us more of your thoughts. We would love to hear them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, for people who do not know a lot about like the musicality of this album, that you like took the time to sing and play piano to make those connections is incredible. So thank you so much for doing that.
Like, I for one fall into the category of people who do not know much about that.
I was so, referencing like, both you. Of us.
So thank you so much, Simon. Wow, Sam, what a good album.
Yeah. I mean, if that's not exemplified in the fact that we spent a year talking about it, then I don't know what could.
That's actually crazy. I really love that so much. That it's been a year just seems perfect somehow.
It does, and I wonder, like, if I could zoom out and, like, see how much that has shaped my perspective on the year, too, because I'm sure it has. Like, I spent more time this year thinking about these lyrics than almost anything else.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's super curious and interesting, and I love that that's the thing that's been you and Joanna have been shaping my
for sure
understanding of this year.
And what a fun project to spend a year on too.
It totally is. Okay, Sam has like 3 minutes before she's getting kicked out of the
room. I don't want to rush us at the end of the album too. We can always come back, we can talk about this again.
Yes, totally.
But for now we will say we have an email address. It is ahopelessendeavor@gmail.com. We have an Instagram, which is ahopelessendeavorpodcast. You can follow us there. You can send us your DMs, your ideas. You can respond to the questions that I post every once in a while. The responses I got today have just been like, oh my God, that fucking song kills me every time. Like, yeah, we're there. We're there with you for sure.
Yeah.
Nikki runs our Patreon and our Facebook group.
Yeah, so the Patreon, you can find early episode releases and some bonus episodes. We're about to release bonus episode 11, so you should check that out. We just discuss like fan theories or really whatever we are so inclined to talk about that recording session. And then the Facebook group is a hopeless endeavor, a Joanna Newsom podcast. Yeah. Thank you very much. I think that's everything. If you want to, you can rate and review us. If you want to, you can let us know if you want to hear about the album art, although this episode might not come out in time, but whatever. I guess we're going to go on to Divers next. Who knows?
Yeah, I know we had this debate last time because I've been listening to so much of The Milk-Eyed Mender. But I think our original plan was Divers, and we already have some submissions in the bank from listeners for that. So that's probably the direction we should head in. Yeah,
we did this thing weirdly at East. We did, but for good reason. For good reason. Yeah, I totally support us having done that. Okay, bye, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Bye, 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 bye.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. How did we spend a year talking about this? Thank you.
I'll put away and hide from view.